Dad did ask me a few weeks ago if I would share tonight, and I said, yeah, yeah, sure. And he said, don't you want to pray about that or think about it? And I said, no, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. And so a few days later, I was thinking and praying and kind of asking the Holy Spirit what he would want me to share. It seems like he's always teaching me things. He's always working with me through different situations. And I think that's how we should be. You know, for a while I thought, okay, if I can just learn enough about God, then eventually I can get to this like one spot where everything is perfect and I know everything. I don't have to fight any battles. I've got it. I guess that's the perfectionist in me or something coming out. But he showed me, no, that's not going to happen. Not even after we get to heaven, that's not going to happen. We're always going to be learning. So he's always showing me stuff, always teaching me just different things here and there. And so I began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to share about? What do you want me to talk about? And as I was praying, I started thinking about the things that Dad has been discussing on Wednesday nights about the end times. And I started thinking about all of the things that we're going to get to see and we're going to get to experience and all of the things we're going to get to miss and not have to experience and not have to see. And so as I was praying and thinking about that, the Holy Spirit dropped this verse into my heart. And we don't have our little projector thing up here, so I'm going to have to turn to all of these. Because I don't have a fancy iPad or anything like that. I have an iPhone, but it probably wouldn't work for me to try to see it up here. So, but this is in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about the signs of the end of the age. And he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And as I read that, the part that jumped out at me was the part that says, "men's hearts failing them for fear." And I started thinking about the stuff that's coming, and I thought, well, yeah, absolutely. I can see how men's hearts would be failing them for fear. In the Amplified, it says, "men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world." Yeah, I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. And so as I read that over and over and over, I realized that as we come closer and closer to the end of this age, we need to know how to fight fear. We need to understand that fear is a huge weapon that the enemy uses against us, and we have to understand how to fight fear. And we also have to understand how to recognize it. You know, whenever armies go into battle against another army, usually they've done some research to figure out how that other army attacks, you know, their, what is it, MO, mode of operation or something like that. Anyway, they pay attention to how the other army usually comes to try to attack. And I think that's something that we need to do. We need to understand exactly how the enemy works, how he tries to get in, how he tries to, and how people are being tripped up. Because the Bible tells us right here that men's hearts will fail them for fear. I don't see, I could be wrong, but I don't see that it's saying only those that don't know God, their hearts will fail them because of fear. So that kind of tells me we need to be aware and paying attention and know the enemy's going to try to use fear, and we need to know how to fight it. So I decided to talk a little bit about fear. And the first, I think we need to understand fear. We need to understand what fear is. We need to understand how it creeps its sneaky little way into our lives. And because knowing fear and knowing how the enemy uses it, it's going to help us target and know, no, we're going to recognize that that's fear. So I just want to share a few facts about fear. And I have, this is a subject that I have personally walked through over many years. So I've studied it, and I've learned. The Holy Spirit has taught me a lot of things, definitely not everything that I'm going to learn, but he's shown me some things about fear in the past. And so I just want to share a few things about it. The first thing I want to do, though, is go over, you know, there are two different kinds of fear that the Bible talks about. My kids call it good fear and bad fear. The good fear is reverential awe toward God. And that's something that we should all have. Our generation is lacking that right now. They don't have a reverence toward God. They don't have an awe for the things of God. That's the good fear, and that's something that they need. But the bad fear, as they call it, the definition of it, I thought was not really funny, but kind of funny. In the dictionary, it says, an unpleasant, strong emotion caused by the anticipation or awareness of danger. That sounds like a sweet little definition for fear. But it's not. It's not a sweet little thing at all. If you have ever been attacked by fear or ever had to work through fear, you understand it's not just an unpleasant, strong emotion. It's very demonic. In fact, the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 4, it says that fear has torment. And that is definite. It definitely does. If you have ever had an anxiety attack or seen someone that has, you can visibly see or feel, if you're the one having the attack, there's torment there. You know, that person does not have... they don't feel like they have control over their body. They feel like they're dying, like they can't breathe. That's torment, and that is not, that's not right. It's not something that we should have to deal with here on the earth, but we do because we live here on the earth. But I thought that was just kind of funny because Webster kind of made that sound, oh, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal, but it is. It's a really, really big deal. And also, something that I've learned about fear is that it's very, very sneaky. Very, very sneaky. Now, sometimes I suppose, you know, fear does come in when we watch scary movies, you know, about monsters or things coming at us, you know. That sort of thing would let fear in, yes. But that's kind of an obvious way for fear to get in. It does get in from watching things. I know I personally, I used to really like to watch the show ER a lot because I liked the stories. I thought it was really interesting. But I started to notice after watching it for 6 to 9 months or so, I started to notice that I would get really nervous if I would have a weird pain somewhere, anywhere in my body, and I would start thinking, oh my gosh, oh man, oh, it's probably my circulation, which means it would be my heart. That means my heart is bad. My heart is bad. I need to get to the doctor really fast. You know, that's ridiculous. It's silly. But because I was watching the show and meditating on these made-up stories, probably, but still, it let fear into my life because I was paying attention to the wrong kinds of things. Another example is my sister used to like to watch Oprah a lot. She probably wouldn't like me telling that, but she used to watch Oprah whenever she was on. And she told me one time, God really told me I needed to stop watching Oprah. And I said, really? Is Oprah bad? And she said, well, I don't know about that, but I know that I was watching an episode of Oprah and there was a woman, and this woman was on there sharing her story about her husband had, I guess, freaked out and decided he was going to kill her. And so she was telling her story about, you know, she was down the hall and he was chasing her and all this stuff. And Stephanie said she was sitting there, you know, listening. And, you know, she's got her adrenaline going and she's freaking out. Well, later on, she began to have fear in different areas of her life. She was not ever afraid that her husband was going to freak out and kill her, but she started becoming really paranoid and nervous that her son was going to die, that something weird was going to happen to him. And, you know, so she was protective. She wanted him to walk carefully down the stairs. She wanted, you know, to make sure that everything was okay with him. And she said, God showed her, you opened the door to fear. You were listening to that story, and you opened yourself up to the fear that that woman was portraying through that TV show. So, and I'm not saying that Oprah is bad or anything like that, but for her, that was something she had to do. She, I'm not a fan of Oprah, but that's all I'm going to say. Okay. So we have to pay attention to the different things that open us up to fear. Some things that open me up to fear probably wouldn't open somebody else up. They're not necessarily susceptible to those kinds of things. You know, Jerry probably is not susceptible to being nervous, walking to his car at night. Maybe he is, but I don't know. But I am, or I am not anymore, but I have had to walk through that fear and face it and take it down. Because we're different people. We've walked through different situations in life. So we have to understand, we have to know how fear can get into each one of us. It's not the same for each and every person. Some things are obviously probably going to let fear in, focusing on negative thoughts and negative situations and things like that. That's another thing. Life situations can let fear into our lives. If someone passes away, or somebody, you know somebody who has been in a car accident and they've passed away, or they've had major physical problems because of it, and it's been a real traumatic event, that's definitely something that can allow fear into our lives, and we have to be really careful. I know that anytime someone that I've known has passed away, I've had to stand against fear in my own life, because your emotions are open and you're susceptible to what the enemy would try to bring to you. You're not necessarily paying attention because you're trying to deal with what's going on over here. And a lot of times we look around a few months later and we're like, why am I so afraid of that? Where did this come from? And a lot of times it's because of something like that. Also, just visiting with someone who has a real problem with fear, someone who's driven with fear, someone who does everything out of fear, when they talk and they speak fear words. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to listen, and we'll begin to think about those things, and we'll begin to contemplate. The Holy Spirit showed me, I think I've had like all of these situations in my life, but at one point I had someone in my life, had a relationship with someone, a close relationship with someone who operated in fear constantly. And almost every conversation we had, it was full of fear, and she was feeding fear and her concerns and this and that. And, I didn't realize it, but I began to think about the things that she was saying, and I began to mull them over, and they began to take root in my heart. And I had to work hard at tearing those things down. I think it's really important that we're watchful and that we're paying attention, and we don't need to have the attitude of, it's not that big a deal. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Because it is a big deal. It can really be a stronghold in our life, where we're not able to get past it. And my next point is that fear is the opposite of faith. We can't, in fact, there's a story here in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus talks about this exact thing. When I saw this, I had a huge revelation. Verse 35 says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And verse 40, he says, And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he equates being fearful as having no faith. And that spoke volumes to me, that if we're fearful, we don't have faith at all. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so I began to think about that, about the way I explained it to my kids was that faith and fear are opposites. And I took some oil and some water, tried to mix them together, you know, and showed them, that's not going to mix. They can't work together. It's not going to happen. And that's how faith and fear are. They can't work together at all. In fact, faith and fear are actually the same thing, just working in the opposite direction. And I heard somebody talk about Hebrews 11:1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, fear is the substance of things not hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the same thing. You're putting your faith in something that disagrees with the Word of God. And just like there's a lot of power in joining your faith up with what the Word of God says, just how that causes miracles to take place in our life, when we join ourselves up with fear, it does just the opposite. In fact, let's look at Job. Job 3. I really don't like the book of Job. No, I do. It's just, you know, it's not the funnest book to read. Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, and this is Job talking, and he says, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. See, Job, he was tormented by fear. And we see that in this book, that he was absolutely tormented by fear. And he joined himself up with that fear, and he began to meditate on that fear, and he began to do different things out of fear. And because of that, he joined himself up with that fear, and it took off in his life. It opened a door for the enemy to just ransack the place and take control of him. And that's something that fear will do if we're not careful. And it's the same as faith, but the opposite. And it's a very, very dangerous, it's a dangerous enemy to have. So knowing that about fear, being able to recognize it, being able to spot it, I'm going to say one more thing. A lot of times fear wears different masks, and we think that we're dealing with a certain thing when actually the root of it is fear. And I'll give an example is, I dealt with fear a lot as it was masked by responsibility. And the thought would come to me, if you were really a responsible mother, then you would get up 15 to 20 times a night and go check on your kids and make sure they're breathing, make sure no one has broken into their room, go and make sure no one, you know, has fallen off the bunk bed and broken their neck. You know, you need to get up and go and do that. Or if you were really a responsible adult, you would be up in the middle of the night trying to figure out how you're going to pay this bill when you don't have the money to pay it. If you were really responsible, then you would be turning your wheels to figure it out. Well, of course, if the Holy Spirit tells us to get up and he's going to give us a plan, then that's one thing. Or if the Holy Spirit tells us you need to go check on your kids, well, that's an important thing to do. But not when it's fear. Fear pushes and makes you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to go do this, or something really terrible is going to happen, or I feel like I'm going to throw up. This is just awful. It's a really terrible, terrible feeling. But the Holy Spirit leads us, and he guides us, and there's a peace, and there's a big difference. A lot of people don't pay attention to the difference. They feel something, and they go for it. But if we listen and we pay attention, we'll notice the difference. There's a very big difference, and it's important for us to be paying attention. I think that's a huge problem that we face, is that we just don't pay attention. We just do whatever shows up in our mind, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, so once we understand how fear can get in, we understand how to recognize it. Now we can know how to fight it, because we recognize it as something that's wrong. We have to understand that fear is never, ever, 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 ever from God. It's not ever from God. I've heard a lot of people say, well, some fear is good. You know, just a little bit of fear is a good thing. You know, you want to be afraid to run out into the street and get hit by a truck. It's a good thing to be afraid of that. Well, no, it's a good thing to understand the consequences of that, but it's not a good thing to be afraid of that. The Bible doesn't ever say that fear is a good thing. In fact, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That verse right there tells me fear's not from God. In fact, I'm in his family. I've been adopted into his family, so I don't have to have fear. That's something that he's redeemed me from. But when he brought me into his family, I don't have to have fear. That's not something that comes from him. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." I don't know how you can change that around to say God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, except sometimes he's given you some good fear that is healthy for you, that'll keep you from getting hurt. It doesn't say that. It says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. It's not from God. And in 1 John 4:18, I mentioned that verse a little bit earlier when I was talking about fear having torment. But the rest of the verse, if I can get to it here. The whole verse says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." So I've read that verse over and over and over again, and I kind of realized something, that the Bible tells us that God is love. He is love. He doesn't just have love, he is love. And it talks about how fear has been cast out by love. So God doesn't have any fear in him. He has no fear about him. So those are three examples right there that show that fear is not from God. And fear is not okay. It's not something, in fact, for God to say, "God, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind," that's something I need to know. It's not something for me. I don't need to allow it in my life. And there are, I don't know how many verses there are that say, "Don't fear, fear not," things like that. There are a lot, and I picked my favorite six to read. And so I just want to read just six of them to you, because I really want to build faith. I really want us to see just how much fear is not okay and it's not right. The first one is Deuteronomy 31:6. And I'm going to read these in the Amplified, because these are how that's how I read them normally to myself. It says, "Be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then in Isaiah 41, this is going to take me a while to get here. Verse 10, it says, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice." And then in verse 13, it says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you." in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I should have put these in order. That would have been better. Okay. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then this one is one of my favorite ones, Philippians 1, verse 28. I use this one a lot. And I could probably quote it to you, but I'm going to read it just to make sure I get every little word in there. It says, "And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, and a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God." Just two more. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And one more, Hebrews 3, 5. Wait, is that right? Is it 13? Because that doesn't sound right. Yes, that's it. 13:5. Sorry. It says, "Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, lust, craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, 'I will not in any way fail you or give you up or leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.' So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" So that's just a small little handful of the scriptures that tell us, don't be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. And for a little while, I got a little bit, I felt a little bit condemned because a situation would show up or something like that, and I would get nervous and I would shake a little bit, and that feeling of fear would show up. But the Holy Spirit showed me, God didn't say, shake not. You know, he didn't say, do not feel the feeling of fear. He said, don't fear, which to me meant, don't let that fear tell you what to do. Do not obey what the fear, if the fear is telling you, run, get out of here, run, then you stand still. Even if you're shaking, stand still. Do not let fear tell you what to do. If fear is telling you, just stay where you are, don't go up there, do not do it, then don't let fear tell you what to do. You should probably go ahead and go up there. I've had an exercise with myself where I, if I think that fear is telling me to do something or not to do it, then I just go ahead and do the opposite. You know, whether I'm really supposed to or not, it doesn't matter to me because I refuse to let fear tell me what to do. You know, I've had to lay in bed when Asher was a newborn, lay in bed and say, "Mm-mm, I'm not getting up to go check on him until fear is not the one telling me to do it. When the Holy Spirit tells me to do it, I will do it, but I am not getting up to check to make sure he's still breathing. I will wait until the Holy Spirit speaks to me and tells me what to do. I am not getting up to check the doorknob to see if it's locked or not until I am not afraid." And it's done wonders for me, you know. It's a really great exercise. If you've never tried it, you should try it. It's really fun. You get to do all kinds of things that you normally never would do. But so anyway, once we are convinced that fear is not from God and that we've been redeemed from fear, then that's when we can have the courage to stand up against fear and to take authority over fear. The Bible tells us in Luke 10:19, this is one of my mom's favorite verses. She quotes it to me often. I really need an iPad. Hint, hint for Christmas gifts. Okay, Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." That verse right there tells us that we have authority over the power of the enemy, and fear is something that the enemy uses a lot to try to infiltrate the people of God. And so we can stand up and take authority over fear and speak to fear and tell it to go in Jesus' name. We can take authority over fear. And sometimes there are miraculous deliverances from fear, just like there are miraculous healings, miraculous deliverances from addictions and things like that. Sometimes people are miraculously delivered from fear, and all of a sudden they don't deal with fear anymore. That does happen. A lot of the time, though, we have to tear fear down the same way it was built up. And that's little by little, thought by thought, step by step. You know, fear gets in always through our mind. Always, always. Even if we see it, we see something on TV or we hear something from someone or we experience something, it always stays with our mind. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to bring every thought into captivity, which y'all might laugh at this, but that was a huge revelation to me that I didn't have to think every single thought that came across my head and that everything I thought was not necessarily right or true. You know, I don't know why I put so much stock in the thoughts that came through my mind, but that was such a revelation to me to realize, oh, that's not every thought that comes through is something that I should allow to stay, you know. And Philippians 4:8 is an awesome verse to use as a guideline. You know, if there's ever a thought that you think, I don't know, maybe I don't know, is that from God? Is that something that would be from him? Well, if you look up Philippians 4:8, there's a really good guideline to show you whether it's from God or not. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So if it falls into those categories, if it's lovely, if it's honest, if it's a good report, then those are things that we need to allow to stay. If it doesn't fall into those categories, then we need to take care of it and get it out. And the way we do that is by speaking. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11, says to say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," which tells me I can't think to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea." I have to say it. I have to speak. That's how God created us to communicate. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to think that, I could walk up to Chris and, well, he might be able to know what I was thinking by my facial expressions, but we communicate using words. That's how we talk. That's how we talk to other people. It would be kind of silly to think that he's going to know exactly what I'm trying to say without me speaking. The same thing goes with the enemy. It's ridiculous for us to think that he's going to know what he's supposed to do. He probably does know what he's supposed to do, but he's not going to do it because he doesn't have to till we speak to him and tell him to go. And so what we have to do is we have to replace the thoughts of fear with the thoughts that agree with the Word of God. Well, I read quite a few about fear that we can use to replace. But also, it's really important to pay attention to the certain situations that fear tries to grip you in and find out what the Bible says about that. For example, if you have to deal a lot with fear for your finances, it's good to speak to fear, but you also need to find out what the Bible says about your finances. Find out what does the Bible say about prosperity and about blessing me. Or if it's your health, you find out what the Bible says about your health. And when those thoughts come, and they will, and they do, that's when you pull out your arsenal. I really do have note cards in my purse that I pull out, and I rattle off their categorized. You know, I have them for different situations that might come up. Oh, here's my health one. I'm going to pull that one out and, you know, take him down before he even, because I know if I sit there long enough, he's going to get a root right there and it's going to control me. And I have to make sure that he's not allowed to do that. And as we get closer and closer and closer to the end of the age, that's going to be easier and easier and easier, especially if we're looking around, looking at everything that's going on. If our eyes are there and that's where our mind is focusing, then that's, we could very easily be one of those men whose hearts fail them because of fear. So I hope that you've been encouraged to pay attention. If you already are, pay attention even more closely to fear and to the way that it might try to get in. And I hope that you've got some faith built up against fear and against the things that just are not, they're not promised us in the Bible that we don't need to have. Amen? Okay, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the people that are here tonight. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, for the answers that you've given us in your word. I thank you that you didn't put us here on this earth blindly to not know how to live this life and to not know what to do with the things that come at us. I thank you that you've given us an answer, and I thank you, Father, that as we dive into your word and as we begin to even more devour it, Father, that you show us more and more answers in your word and show us more and more steps to take to be closer to you and to impact the world around us, Father. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to bless everybody that's here tonight. I ask you to protect them and help them to have a great rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.